And it's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and Daryl Garrison, realtor from Brentwood. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Joanne. Welcome, everybody. We hope you're having a nice morning, and we do hope you can spend an hour with us because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So naturally, that's what we're looking for today. So feel free to give us a call if you have a question or answer. We'll be giving you questions very shortly, but hopefully you'll have one of your own as well. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We would love to hear from you, and we would urge you to call as early in the show as possible. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. I used to be able to do that in one breath, but I can't anymore. And again, that is the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you would like to email us instead of calling in, you are welcome to do that. But we would love you to call in naturally. And of course, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is at kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast, that should be up in a reasonable amount of time, also at kalw.org and many, many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Again, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Yes, we are doing pledging in case you've been living in a cave someplace. And that number is 1-800-525-9917. We're not going to put the heavy sleeve on you here, but I do want to urge you that if you do enjoy Minds Over Matter, and I know they're out there, some people out there do, because they told me so, this is a great time to call in and let them know that. And you can pledge whatever amount your little heart desires, from $5 to $5,000. And that's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to kalw.org, and I believe you can click donate there. And you can do it in the quiet of your own home. Again, that's 1-800-525-9917, or go to kalw.org. And if Joanne just pointed out to me, this is the last day. I won't say anything. Yes, this is the last day. And so this is a good time. You know, tomorrow will not be as good. Let's just put it that way. Today is the better day.
They won't take your money after today.
No, they will take your money. Okay. But you won't get all the bells and whistles you would get if you did it today. So keep that in mind. Okay.
Oh, I want a whistle.
Now that I said that, and we'll probably say it again, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. His first vote for president was for Jimmy Carter in 1976 when he was 18. And Carter may outlive him yet. Here's Daryl Garrison.
Lori Fisher figured he was a long shot to take over Waystar Royko on the final episode of Succession, but he was shocked to see both Daryl Garrison and Dana Rodriguez clawing their way to the top. Nicely done.
Well done, gentlemen. And this morning, as a special service to all our listeners in the United States, moderator Dana Rodriguez will be conducting the majority of this program in the English language. Nicely done. Yeah.
We'll see if that brings in any more pledges. again, whatever, you know, if you would like to join, we would love new members. So if you enjoy this show and all the tremendous pleasure we bring you every week, I say that with a laugh. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to kalw.org and click on donate. Okay. We will start with a round of questions here, and the first will be Daryl Garrison.
Okay. James Dean is mostly known for three films, but what are his character names in those three films?
Well, his name in Giant is Jet Rink.
Yes.
Nice. East of Eden.
Yeah, East of Eden. East of Eden and Rebel Without a Cause. I have to think about that. I might have one of them.
Dean, is East of Eden name a biblical name like Adam or?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
It's a cool hip name.
Right. Okay, just repeat the question. We'll leave it out.
Sure. James Dean is mostly known for three films, but what are his character names in those three films? So Giant, 1956, Jet Rink. So we have East of Eden and Rebel Without a Cause, both from 1955.
Okay. And let's see. Lori, we'll go with you.
All right. Well, as I pointed out last week, last week in May is a sign for finales of shows, and I have a question about the Seinfeld show. This isn't about the finale, but it just occurred to me last week. So here are some questions for those who are Seinfeld experts. I have five of them, and if you knock them off pretty quickly, I'll add one more. What were the first names of Jerry's parents on the show, his mom and dad? Second one, there's one item of clothing from the Seinfeld series that's in the Smithsonian. What item of clothing is in the Smithsonian? Kramer, George and Kramer have a dispute about his password for his ATM machine, and Kramer figures it out. What is George's password? There was an Academy Award winning actress who was nominated for supporting what they called the guest actor role on the series. Who was she? And then there was also a star of a 1950s TV show that was also nominated for a supporting actor on the show. Who was that? So I'm looking for Jerry's parents, the item of clothing in the Smithsonian, Kramer's getting George's password, the Academy Award winning actress who was nominated for a supporting Emmy, and the very popular star of a successful adventure series on TV. Give you like one and a half each.
Well, I know that the item of clothing is the puffy shirt.
It is the puffy shirt. There's the bell and the whistle that you were looking for, or at least the bell. Very good.
All right. The Jerry's dad was named Morty. Wasn't he Morty?
He was.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about his mom?
I'm trying to think of that.
Okay.
Can't think of it at the moment.
Okay. Daryl, you got another one?
I'm thinking. Repeat the actress. What was the clue on the actress?
So the actress ultimately won an Academy Award for Best Actress, and her award for Seinfeld was playing a supporting role, what they called the guest actor. And then the actor, similar, won a guest role. She had been a star of a TV adventure series in the 50s and early 60s. Who was it?
I know a listener, a regular listener of the show, he's champing at the bit to call in and answer these. He's a big Seinfeld fan.
Then he listens to Minds Over Matter?
Every week, yeah.
All right. Well, he'll call in.
All right.
All right. Leave that out.
All right. We'll leave him out there. Very good.
Okay. And let's see. Actually, Joanne's guest, Lloyd Bridges.
Is it Lloyd Bridges? That is correct. The star of Sea Hunt played Izzy Mandelbaum. I don't remember him in the show, but very good, Joanne. All right. We're still looking for the Oscar-winning actress.
And the two numbers to join us here, area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's with a question or answer, area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thanks for the show. I have this quick question I wanted to ask you about Captain America and KALW. What do they have in common?
Oh, are they the same age now?
Yes, they are. Both born 1941, right?
Yeah, wow. Right.
Both on Social Security.
Yeah, and so Captain America as a comic book right now is hitting number 750.
Nice.
So are we. Yeah.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
82 years old. How about that? Okay. Yeah. Let me give you a couple questions here. Let's see. What is the largest state capital not to be the most populous city in that state? What is the largest state capital by population not to be the most populous city in that state?
So my first guess is Austin.
Austin is correct.
Oh, well done.
Nice. Austin, Texas. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Moving from that, I'll give you a couple of show business questions. What person was a top 10 box office star for the longest period of time without ever being nominated for an Academy Award?
Ever.
In other words, their whole career, they were never nominated for Academy Award. So what person was a top 10 box office star in the United States the longest without ever in their career being nominated for an Academy Award?
Is this going back like a Shirley Temple or Mickey Rooney thing?
Yeah, it goes back a ways. Yeah.
It can you tell us how many years they were on the top 10 list? Or that?
About 12.
Wow. 12 years and never nominated.
Never nominated ever in their career.
How about Fred Astaire?
He's been nominated in his career.
For On the Beach.
Towering Inferno.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. What person was a top 10 box office star the longest without ever being nominated for an Academy Award their entire career? And I will give you one more question. I'm going to give you the names of three bridges, the real names of three bridges in the Bay Area. Keep it down to one guess each, please. And I want you to tell me how the bridge is better known. In other words, the more common name for the bridge. But these are the actual proper names for the bridge. The first is the George Miller Jr. Bridge. The second is the Alfred Zampa Memorial Bridge. And the third is the John F. McCarthy Bridge. Now, these are three bridges in the Bay Area. Those are the actual names of the bridges. But they're better known by frequent drivers by other names. Let me just go over this once more.
Sure.
Number one is the George Miller Jr. Bridge. Number two is the Alfred Zampa Memorial Bridge. Number three is the John F. McCarthy Bridge. I'll give you one guess each. Yes, Daryl.
Yeah, I think the George Miller Bridge is Martinez Benicia.
That is correct.
That's what I thought. Good. He was congressman there for years in Contra Costa.
Right.
I've seen the Alfred one, but I don't remember. John McCarthy, I don't know. So let's leave those two out for the audience.
All right. Okay. So once more, what person was a top 10 box office star in the United States the longest without ever being nominated in their entire career for an Academy Award? And secondly, these two bridges are in the Bay Area. These are the proper names of the bridges. Tell me what they're better known as and where they are. The Alfred Zampa Memorial Bridge and the John F. McCarthy Bridge. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I see. So congratulations to KLW, 82 years old, plus. And guess who also is 82 years old, plus? Guess who?
Not you.
Of course. I really can't believe I lived that long. The secretary always work, never stop. The day I stop, the way I die. The day I die. And also, just
I like
one
to think it's
day.
Our show that's kept you young.
Yeah, 1 meal a day and also lot of hot tea. Okay, well, I'm really glad I caught you today. So So, in his talking about long life, you know, my dad worked until in his life until he dropped dead one day. I think something will happen to me. All right, so let's talk about Sigmund Freud talking about death. In his deathbed, he finished his book. What was the title of his book? His last book, I mean. What was the title of his last book?
The book that he was reading when he died? Is that what you mean?
No, he was writing.
He was writing? Book.
Yeah. Oh. It's about Moses. What was the name of the book? I will tell you. Time is short. Moses and Monotheists. All right? And he went as far as to connect Moses. He may be the Pharaoh Akhenaten. At least Moses was one of the priests of the Pharaoh Akhenaten, which actually Akhenaten was the first human to quote for the concept of monotheism. He was. Okay. My second question is about natural disasters. So, April 13, 1929 may be a horrible day for our planet Earth. What do you think will happen that day? May happen. No, it will not happen. It may happen. Friday the 13th. I like to make sure everybody knows that's Friday the 13th, 1929. That's about less than 7 years from now. Less than six years from now, I'm sorry.
You mean 2029, right? Not 1929.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm living in the past. I'm really. Yes, it is. 2029. Okay, what do you think may happen? I actually asked a question of that about a couple of years ago, and we should really keep it in mind.
The final episode of The Simpsons?
No, it is natural disaster. Okay, something that may come out from our outer space.
Ooh. Oh, are we going to get hit by an asteroid or a comet?
Yes. Yep. A Phobos is a hole. Don't know exactly the exact size. I think somewhere between half a mile and a mile. It's pretty big. I mean, if it hit Earth, goodbye, everybody.
Well, I'll be out of town that week.
At one time, NASA thought it would, but right now, excluding, but it's still less, not zero chance, higher than zero, it may hit Earth because something called Yaakov effect, which is the effect of the sun ray on the object. So it may divert. Not only that, if it misses in 2029, it's going to come back in 2036. And if it misses in 2036, it's going to come back 2069. I really believe that asteroid is going to eventually hit Earth, because it's going to keep coming back and forth, and others as well. Just one last very quick question. Three customs, good old, our Jewish people inherited from ancient Egypt, talking about monotheism. Three of them. What are the three customs? Very common customs. I will tell you, because time is short. All right. Number one, not eating pork. Number two, mere circumcision. You know that very well. And the first and the most important, monotheism itself. Because really there is a chance that Moses and Akhenaten not only knew each other, they could be the same person, they could be a priest to one or the other. Thank you, always great show, and I really do want everybody, please, open your purse wide to this most beautiful station after losing KGO, and KBFA now has been restricted a lot by the new manager. Please, everybody, support KLAW as much as you can. Thank you very much. You have a good day.
All right.
Thank you, Ed. And you heard it. Open your purses. That means the men, too. Open your purses. And... anyway, as Ed said, we're doing a membership drive now. We would like to have as many new members as possible. KLW needs to grow in order to maintain their fine level of programming. So if you can do that, if you can contribute whatever amount is appropriate for you, all you have to do is call 1-800-525-9917 and make a donation, become a member in whatever amount you choose. And or you can go to kalw.org. You know, we're not putting a lot of pressure on you to do it. But of course, you know, we do need new members. So, and that's what makes the programming go. And if you do enjoy Minds Over Matter, now is the time to show how much you enjoy that. And all the programming on KALW. This is just a great time. So 1-800-525-9917. However, moving on, if you would like to call our show with a question or answer, There's no connection between the two. In other words, you don't have to make a donation or to call the show. It's 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's see, just a note here. Connie, Jerry Seinfeld's mother, Estelle George. That's the actress, though. That's not the...
Correct. Yeah, no, I'm looking for her name on the show. It was Estelle George.
What was it? Yeah, okay. And Robert, who's a longtime caller of the show, says, "Hi, Dana. Since the summer solstice is approaching, here's an appropriate question. Where is the largest sundial in the world?"
Ooh, wow.
So if anybody knows where the largest... He gave the answer, but... Where is the largest sundial in the world? If anybody knows that, now's the time to call in with that information. And in the meantime, I think we will... Oh, I should identify, if you don't know by now, you're listening to KALW. That's 91.7 FM on your dial, if you still have a dial. And our panel tonight, that would be Daryl Garrison, who's a real estate agent in Brentwood. But I think he covers probably more than Brentwood, but he'll start with Brentwood. And Lori Fisher, who teaches at Davo Valley College. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to, as I said before, KALW 91.7 FM. If you would like to send us an email with an answer, if you can't get through on the phone, but I don't think that's a problem, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral 1@gmail.com. Okay. Now, Daryl, we will come back to you and you can give us a question.
Sure. This is about U.S. presidents and their religion. The two-parter, which two U.S. presidents of the 20th century were Quakers? And the other one is, who was the last U.S. president with no religion specified? He never joined any church officially, but knew the Bible quite well.
One of the Quakers, I think, was Nixon.
It was Nixon.
Right. And I think the other was Hoover.
Hoover is correct.
I didn't know that.
And I believe the one that did not identify with a specific religion but knew the Bible quite well was Lincoln.
It was Lincoln.
No.
Too easy.
All right. You can give us another question.
Oh, okay. When Francis Scott Key woke up in the morning and saw the U.S. flag that inspired him to write the Star Spangled Banner, how many stars were on that flag?
What year was that, Dana?
1812, I believe. So let's see.
Well, I think that was the War of 1812, but I think this was 1814. I'm not positive, but it might be 1814.
I'm not sure if any states were admitted between 1812 and 1814, though it's possible. It is quite possible. So I'm only making a guess here. Let's go with 19?
No.
All
right. I'm going to go with 24.
No.
Okay.
All right. All right. Give us the question once more.
Sure. When Francis Scott Key saw the U.S. flag that inspired him to write the Star Spangled Banner, how many stars were on that flag?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. It's Sparky.
There he is. He'll know all those.
Maybe. Helen Seinfeld was Jerry's mother.
She sure was.
Yeah, good.
There was. On that one.
Morty was the other.
Correct.
And I believe the poster shirt was taken to the Smithsonian.
George.
We missed you there. We didn't quite hear you.
I actually said the puffy shirt is the one in the Smithsonian.
That's correct. Right. Yeah, Daryl got that, but very good.
But I wanted that. Dana, your question about longest box office without ever getting nominated, I'm thinking someone like, say, Norma Talmadge.
Like who? I'm sorry, say that again.
Norma Talmadge.
Oh, that's an interesting answer. No, not Norma Talmadge.
Okay. And I'm going to throw out a number for Daryl's Star-Spangled question. Were there 17 stars on the flag?
No. No.
Okay, I'm not going to throw out numbers. I'll let someone else do it.
So, Sparky, what was George's password for the ATM?
Bosco.
Yes. That is correct. Very good. Kramer deduced it. Thought it was a childhood pleasure. Very good.
Yes.
And good job.
And he couldn't tell it to his girlfriend, and he couldn't tell it to Jerry, but he managed to tell it to Peterman's dying mother.
That's correct. Very good.
Yeah, amazing. And I think, now, you're talking about someone who won a Best Actress. Right, not Best Supporting Actress. So that leaves out Marisa Tomei.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What for? What
this is the missing Seinfeld question.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, and when I read it, Marisa Tomei wasn't nominated for Supporting Actor from Seinfeld. She might have been, but I missed that. But that's not. I'm looking for someone who won Best Actress.
Right. Yeah. You're talking Best Actress, not Supporting. I can't think of it just now, but we got good enough, and that's fine enough for us. All right. Good night, all.
All right.
Bang.
Hey, Dana. Dana, I have a question about your top 10 never nominated.
Yes. Okay.
Any chance that this, the answer is not a human, but something?
Oh, no. No chance at all.
So it's not Rin Tin Tin or Lassie, because they were in the box office top 10 and weren't nominated. But it's a human.
No. Okay. Rin Tin Tin might have been, but Lassie never was. But no, it's not that. Okay. And no, this person is quite human.
And was quite human. Joanna's guessing Errol Flynn.
No, not Errol Flynn. That's a good guess, actually. Yeah. That's a good guess. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. If you enjoy the show, feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you with a question or answer. 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Lori, I think it's your turn.
Okay. This is a Broadway question. In 1966, a Broadway show was made based on the movie Breakfast at Tiffany's. And it has an incredible kind of luminary stars associated. Two very successful TV stars were the star, a successful Broadway songwriter was the composer, and a very successful dramatist or writer wrote the script. Who were the two stars who wrote the script, who wrote the songs for the failure? It only lasted four performances on Broadway before it shut down. All four are really well known.
So start that question. I think I missed the first part of that question.
Yeah, 1966, a failed Broadway show was based on Breakfast at Tiffany's. An all-star cast, two very successful TV stars. It had a famous songwriter and a famous scriptwriter. Who were those four people?
Huh.
Oh, I thought you'd know right away. So good.
And Neil Simon?
Neil Simon was not it.
Oh, that's a good guess.
It is a really good guess.
And they were current TV stars?
I don't know if their shows were currently on. I'd have to check, but I did check, and they were all really well-known kind of top 10 show kind of people by 1966. That's why they were brought in.
Didn't Edward Albee have something to do with that?
He, amazingly enough, that's the answer. Edward Albee was brought in, and he got credit for the script, which everyone believed was very problematic. That was
funny. I remember that, and not the stars. But, yeah, I remember when he died. They mentioned that.
Yeah, that's excellent. So we're looking for the two stars, and then the person who wrote the songs, and the songwriter. Their previous show was a huge hit. This was his or her show following that huge hit.
All right. And let's see. Marilyn asks whether James Cagney was ever nominated for an Oscar. Yes, he was, and he won. So that's not the star I'm looking for here. And Let's see. Eve says there were 15 stars on the flag when Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Okay. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So here's a funny thing about that. There were 15 stars and there were 15 stripes. Their idea was, well, we'll just keep making stripes. Well, they realized that was going to make the flag too long. So they reverted after that to just adding stars and then reverted back to the 13 stripes. And the two extra stars were for Vermont and Kentucky.
They could have made the stripes thinner. That would have been a way to keep the same size. They shrunk the stars, I think. Anyway, that's a great answer. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning from Tom and Debbie in Napa.
Hi.
So, recent college graduates were asked where they hope to work. What were the top four choices? Three were companies. And one is not a company.
So when you say one is not a company, how would you classify it then? It's not a company.
Like politics, government?
Nonprofit, that kind of thing?
So I'll give you that one. Federal government
is
the second choice at 6% of graduates. The number one choice, 16% of graduates named.
So is Google one of them?
Google is 16% of graduates. So you've got the first two, Google and the federal government. Apple's at 5%, 1% lower than the federal government. And that leaves one final one.
How about Applebee's? That's probably a long shot.
It is 2.2% named this fourth choice.
Is it a tech company?
No. It's been in the news a lot lately, thanks to Ron DeSantis.
Oh, Disney. Okay.
Correct. It is all right. Disney.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I will be donating and love the show. Miley Cyrus commented last weekend at Bottle Rock. She looked out over the crowd to begin her set. And what did she say?
No idea.
Who's the performer? Who said it?
Miley Cyrus. Don't know.
You'd had to have been there, I imagine. She said, I've never seen so many people drunk on wine before. It's a whole new effing experience.
Oh, isn't that, that's near your home, isn't it?
It is. It is. Was Berkeley for a long time. Going back so far, I once shopped at Eve's store.
Yes.
And
a nice connection.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. We would love to hear from you with a question or answer. Area code 415-841-4134. Area code 415-841-4134. I think we have to come on lines open right now. Or toll free 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. All right. Let me give you a question here before it gets too late. I think I'm going to tell each of you not to answer right now on this question. So this is another box office star question. So I have three movies in which each of which star two people who had been the number one box office star in the United States. Okay, so you have two number one box office stars in the United States starring in the same film. I want the name of the film. So I'll give you, there are three of them. I'll give you the two co-stars, and you tell me the name of the film. Number one is Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews. The second is Shirley Temple and John Wayne. The third is Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds. So I'm doing this because each of them had been the number one box office star in the United States. So they paired them up in these various films. They weren't necessarily the number one box office star at the time the film was made, but they had been at some point in their career. So give me the films. Number one is Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews. Number two is Shirley Temple and John Wayne. Number three is Clint Eastwood, excuse me, and Burt Reynolds. So give me the films that paired up each of those people. So
I'm glad
the two and two.
I'm glad you recuse me because I don't know.
All right, good. I'm glad. I should let you take a guess if you don't know that.
Yeah.
But yes, so tell me what that is. And in the meantime, we are a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Daryl, we will start with you.
Okay, so James Dean, we know that he played Jet Rink in Giant. What was his character name in East of Eden and his character name in Rebel Without a Cause?
And let's see, I have my Seinfeld question that's missing is what Academy Award winning actress was nominated for basically a supporting actress Emmy? They call it a guest actor. And I'm going to throw in the remnant question is a famous celebrity died on the night of the last Seinfeld episode. It was considered one of the reasons the ambulance got to the hospital so quickly. That's a new question. Who was that celebrity? And then in 1966, they made a musical out of Breakfast at Tiffany's that starred two very top popular TV stars and also had a very a songwriter, the composer of the songs, was a very well-known songwriter because of his previous show. Dana got that the scriptwriter, amazingly enough, was Edward Albee, which was correct.
I have a guess on the actress. I've got two pop into my head that would have done the Seinfeld thing. Charlize Theron or Julianne Moore?
Neither one.
Oh!
Yeah. Neither one was, if they were, I don't remember them being in Seinfeld, but they weren't nominated for the supporting role.
Okay.
Very good. All right. And let's see, what do I have here? Yes. What person was a top 10 box office star the longest in the United States without ever being nominated in their entire career for an Academy Award? What person was a top 10 box office star the longest without ever being nominated over their entire career for an Academy Award? And I'm still looking for the bridges that go with these names. These are Bay Area bridges. One is the Alfred Zampa Memorial Bridge, and the other is the John F. McCarthy Bridge. Where are those in the Bay Area? What are they better known as? And I gave you three pairings of number one box office stars in the United States. And I want you to tell me the movie they appeared in together. The first is Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews. The second is Shirley Temple and John Wayne. And the third are Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds.
So they were cops, right? It was like a heat thing. Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Good long shot guess. I have a guess on the Rock Hudson, Julie Andrews.
But wait. I like people to guess on it first.
Okay.
And then Robert from last week, and this was my fault because I neglected to follow up on this. He gave a question that Ike Turner gave the late Tina Turner. The name Tina, because he was inspired by some stories he had been a fan of as a child. So where did the name Tina come from that he gave her? And so that's what Robert would like to know. And in the meantime, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's longtime KLW supporters, Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Good to hear from you.
I have some guesses. The answer to last week's thing that you just referenced about Tina Turner.
Right.
I believe that it is Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
That's right. Sheena, Queen of the Jungle.
Rhymes with Tina.
Okay.
Okay.
Danny has a guess.
Oh, yeah. The longest box office star. I'm going to go sort of middle brow here. Could it possibly be Penny Singleton?
Penny Singleton. I like your frame of reference, but
yeah, well, it's like 25 Blondie movies over who knows how many years. So
yeah, you're right about it. She was in a ton of Blondie movies, but no, it's not Penny Singleton.
Okay, well, darn. Well,
great guess.
A shout out to Penny Singleton from an old fan.
Here, here.
So the James Dean, you
guys. East of Eden. His name was Cal Trask.
Al Trask is correct.
Good job on that.
I have a follow-up East of Eden question. Raymond Massey plays Adam, the patriarch, the father. Do we know his dying word?
In the movie?
In East of Eden, his dying words.
In the book, or did they use it in the movie as well?
In the movie as well.
Okay.
What was it? Cruel?
Nope.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Words. No.
A Hebrew word. Eid would know.
A Hebrew word, and just a single word.
Yep.
Shalom.
It stuck with me forever, so I thought maybe you would know.
No.
Daryl said shalom.
Nope.
Oi.
Mazel tov. No, it's Timshel, T-I-M-S-H-E-L, and translated, it means thou mayest.
Wow.
And it's significant to the characters in the movie.
So you start speaking
them permission
Hebrew.
To go on and live their lives. Did we have any other guesses?
No, but I have a quick question, you know, to kind of rocket back from biblical times to the 20th century. In the 60s, there were a zillion bands, pop bands, that were known by the leader's first name and then and the, like Martha and the Vandellas. So, you know, Martha Reeves, but back in the day, it was just Martha and the Vandellas, and only those who knew that her last name was Reeves. But so here are four bands, and it's going to give you the last name of the leader. So it's like first name and the. And if you see if you can tell me what the bands were, because nobody ever at the time heard their last name. So the names are Garrity, Gourdine, Marsden, and DiMucci. These are all like
Dion DiMucci. Yeah,
you got one, Daryl?
Yeah, Dion DiMucci and the Belmonts.
Yes, Dion and the Belmonts.
And Marsden is Jerry and the Pacemakers, one of my favorite
indeed.
Groups.
You think they'd be a real popular band here in the aged times? But no. Okay, but what about Gourdine and Garrity?
Well, Garrity's familiar.
Gourdine and Garrity. Hmm.
Was one of them Sly in the Family Stone?
No, good guess. Okay. But no.
Got to think of and the bands.
Yeah. Well, once you start down that road, that you're going to get like 50 or 60 of them. Just
yeah, no, that's true.
Right.
Garrity and Gourdine.
Huh.
Little Anthony Gourdine and the Imperials.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But the other one was mid-60s.
Dave Garrity.
Garrity. No. No.
Fairway.
Oh, that's a Today Show.
Yes. And a chimp. Yes.
Yeah. No, we don't know.
It's Freddie and the Dreamers. Freddie and the Dreamers.
Nice.
All right. Well,
good question.
That's
fun.
It from us this time.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks,
the call.
And support KLW.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We appreciate you listening. And if you enjoy the programming here on KLW and you would care to donate, we would love to hear from you at 1-800-525-9917. We're always looking for new members, and this is a great time to make that happen since this is the last day of our membership drive, 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to kalw.org and click on donate. Either way, it would be just fine with us. If you enjoy Minds Over Matter and all the fine programming here on KALW, this is a wonderful time to show that you care. But in the meantime, if you just want to call in and with a question or answer, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, let's see. Deborah is suggesting that Julie Andrews and Rock Hudson were in the Americanization of Emily. No, that was Julie Andrews and James Garner.
Mm-hmm.
So not that. That was a considerably better film than the one that Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews were in together. And in the meantime, I will ask, let's see, since Daryl is our guest today, I'll ask him if he has a question he would like to throw in.
Sure. This is a little bit of a pun. First, what are the four C's of diamonds, and what are the four C's of Israel?
So is there any connection between the two things?
No, just a pun.
So for diamonds, one has to be carats.
Yes.
And would cut be one?
Yes.
Okay. Dana, you can have the others.
Color.
Yes.
Let's see. Something carats, like cut, color, and what
something,
else?
Something with crystals or crystallization? No.
No. And the, I'm sorry, what was the other part of that, Darryl?
The four C's of Israel. See what I did there?
Oh, and it's like the Dead Sea.
That's one.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
And the Red Sea.
Yes. Well, the Mediterranean Sea.
Yes.
The Dead one Sea. The Jordan, that's a river.
Dead, Red, and Med, right?
Yeah. Huh. We're missing one on
there
each.
Is there a Sea of Galilee?
Yeah, that's it. That's number four.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Got it.
Dana, you get the Diamond Sea.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think of that one. I'm sure it's something very simple.
I have a friend in the diamond business. Maybe I should call him up.
Do that. Yeah. The same one you heard on the radio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What? Well, he's your friend too? I don't think so.
Yeah. He's everybody's friend. And okay. And again, the number to join us here, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. I learned something now. I just made a donation to the Chesapeake Bay Foundation today. So, of course, I do all kinds of research about Chesapeake Bay. And, of course, Fort McHenry, Star Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. Now, you just said there were only, how many stars and stripes?
They had a very special flag built at the time. And 15 stars, 15 stripes.
So it was really not very spangled back then. I mean, only 15. Okay. So Chesapeake Bay is what kind of body of water? It's among the top three in terms of geologically. What is it?
Not a bay?
It is a bay, but more than that. Top three in the world. St. Lawrence being a rival in North America.
So it's a seaway?
Yeah, well, the St. Lawrence, that's a rival for Chesapeake Bay and being this kind of body of water. Not bay. It's a different thing of a different world.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I wasn't following you here. What your question is? One more.
What kind of water is in the Chesapeake Bay and in the St. Lawrence River?
So you're not looking for something as simple as salt water and fresh water, or
yeah, I'm exactly thinking about that.
Okay.
Where fresh water mixes with salt water is called a what?
Oh, there is a name for that. There's a specific name for that.
In fact, New York Bay is like it too.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I don't know the specific
name. New York Bay, because of the Hudson River, where rivers outlet into an ocean, you get a mixture of salt and fresh water, and that's called a what?
A sound?
No.
No. No, we don't know.
Estuary.
Oh. Estuary, all right.
Now it sounds familiar, huh? And speaking of sundials, what country, or now it's a country, divided the day into 24 hours? So that was where the sundial, dividing it into 24 parts.
Well, naturally, I want to say Egypt.
You're right. How'd you know?
Because the answer to everything is Egypt. Didn't you know that?
No, but okay, this is going to be a little... Who divided the hour into 60 minutes? It's not Egypt.
Oh, that was CBS.
It's a culture. It's a culture whose number system was sestadecimal. It was based on 60.
No, I don't know.
Isn't that interesting that not everyone divided their number system wasn't based on 10. This culture divided into 60, which is, of course, extremely useful and, you know, 60 seconds, 60 minutes.
So was it the Arabic system?
No, go farther, farther east.
Was it Chinese then?
No, not that far east. The birthplace of civilization.
Mesopotamians?
The what?
The Mesopotamians.
It's actually Babylonians.
All right.
Okay.
The sexagesimal system. By the way, if we get a leap second, ever heard of a leap second? Has that been discussed on this show?
Many times.
Really? When, if the leap second is inserted, when is it inserted?
During our show to make it a little bit longer.
It's been discussed so many times, I forgot the answer. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It'll be on midnight, either on December 31st, or it can be at the end of June. If there's an urgent need for a leap second, and they say, let's do it now. We're halfway through the year.
All right.
You didn't listen to the best of our knowledge. I listened to it on your show, on your station, and that's where I learned that earlier today.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Okay. Bye-bye. A couple of emails from Nancy and from Greg, who both suggested that clarity was the final C in the diamonds.
Clarity is correct, yes.
All right. Yes, I think Greg is hinting around that he wants a diamond from me, but he's not going to get it. And let's see. What can I give you as a very short question here? What is the widest street in San Francisco? It's 135 feet wide at its widest.
Mark Van Ness.
No.
Broadway.
No. So what is the widest street in San Francisco? It is 135 feet at its widest.
Embarcadero.
No.
Ooh. Daryl, you had said Market, so I'll guess that again. Dana didn't hear that. Market?
No. All right, leave that out. And Robert suggests that the Alfred Zampa Bridge is better known as the Carquinez Bridge, which is correct. Good luck to him. And in the meantime, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
A bunch of people took my answers, but anyway, with a little help from the internet, I found out Rebel Without a Cause, the name for James Dean was Jim Stark.
Oh, I'm sorry. You and the internet are wrong. Yes, that's correct. Really? The internet was correct.
That's okay. And in the Breakfast at Tiffany's, the lyrics were by Bob Merrill.
That's correct. It was his show after Funny Girl. Very good.
Okay.
You and know the stars? Oop, go ahead.
The star that's not nominated, but a long-running star, is Mia Farrow.
It is not Mia Farrow.
Tyrone Power?
Not Tyrone Power.
Okay. And Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews, were they in Victor Victoria?
They were not. Again, that was Julie Andrews and James Garner.
James Garner.
And Robert Preston, yeah.
Yeah.
And Robert Preston. Right. And the other gentleman had the question about the estuary. Do you know what the water is called that's salt water mixed with fresh? The actual water. It's kind of interesting.
I thought he said that was the estuary.
Okay, it's called estuary, brackish right. water.
Brackish.
It's called brackish water.
All right.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
I think that's all my guesses.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
Dana,
it.
Dana, Joanne Guest, Darlene Lilly for the Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews.
That is correct. Rock Hudson and Julie Andrews were in a movie called Darlene Lilly. I think it was 68 or 69. It was not a big success. But yes, they were previously two number one box office stars in the United States. But that movie was not a success.
Can I guess the other one now?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, all right. So Heat popped into my head for Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds, but I think it's City Heat.
That is correct. Yes. Clint Eastwood and Burt Reynolds were in City Heat. Mm-hmm. I want to say like 83, 84, something like that.
Yeah. 80, 81. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
So we need the Shirley Temple, John Wayne one. Daryl, you have any idea? I don't. No. I can't picture it. John Wayne tap dancing.
I will tell you momentarily here. And Ernie is suggesting the widest street in San Francisco is 19th Avenue. It is not 19th Avenue. Again, the question was, what is the widest street in San Francisco? 135 feet. Let's see.
How about the Great Highway? Does that count as a street?
It's not the Great Highway. Not the Great Highway. Joanne, can we take another call? Yes? No?
Pledge break.
All right. Okay. Let's clean up here, and then we will pledge off. All right. Daryl, we'll start with you.
Nope. All of mine got answered.
Oh, did they all get answered? Okay. Yep. All right. And Lori?
The Seinfeld actress who won a Best Oscar and was nominated for an Emmy for Guest was Marlee Matlin. Believe it or not, Marlee Matlin had a recurring role for a few episodes on Seinfeld.
What did she play? What was her role?
Her name was, I just saw her by the first name, I think it was Laura. And I think she went out with Jerry and she was lip reading for him at some party. Oh, he wanted to know what people were saying. So I think she was either, it might have been Jordan, but they hired her to eavesdrop. She became their friend to do that.
Right.
The two stars of Breakfast at Tiffany were Mary Tyler Moore and Richard Chamberlain, Dr. Kildare, and Laura Petrie.
Oh.
And that's all I have for today.
All right. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. The John F. McCarthy Bridge is better known as the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. Cool. So leave that out. What person was the top 10 box office star the longest without ever being nominated for an Academy Award their entire career? That's Bob Hope.
Oh.
Bob Hope was a top 10 box office star from 1941 to 1953.
Very good.
Yeah.
And the widest street in San Francisco at 135 feet is Sloat Boulevard. Sloat Boulevard. Leave that out. Down near where Stern Grove. And Shirley Temple and John Wayne were in the John Ford film Fort Apache.
Well,
Fort Apache from 1947. And anyway, if we do not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Daryl Garrison this morning. Daryl Garrison from Danville, real estate agent.
Brentwood.
And Lori Fisher. Or Brentwood, I'm sorry.
I wish Danville.
Okay, he wishes Danville. He's willing to sell houses in Danville as well. And Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Joanne Marr for handing the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We wish you a very happy week. And I do ask you to remember that this is the last day of our membership drive. So if you are interested in becoming a member of KLW, this is a great time to do it. The number is 1-800-525-9917. That is 1-800-525-9917. You can donate, become a member in whatever amount you choose, from $5 to $5 million. And we could use the $5 million. But again, 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to kalw.org and click on donate. We would love to hear from you. And we do hope you will appreciate all the wonderful programming here on KALW. And in the meantime, we hope you have a great week. And we do hope you will be here with us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.